Let's get right to it, the 11 o'clock hour. Back to the Carbless Talk and Text line, 844-770-3776. You can still send in some texts. Maybe we'll get to them tomorrow. But we got a few more calls to get to, thanks to everyone who's spent much of their morning on hold with us. Let's go to Spencer in Minnesota first, where J.J. McCarthy looks awesome. Good morning, Spencer. How are you?
Fine. He was soft bench. He threw for like 170 yards. He's not awesome. He's whatever. We'll see what he is.
That was a little facetiousness. All right. How you feeling surrounded by all those Vikings fans?
I don't care about them. They're nothing. They're an afterthought, whatever. They're like every other year. They're good. They're bad. I don't care about them. But I don't know. The Packers yesterday sucked. I've always been a Matt LaFleur apologist. But this game, whatever, and it's just kind of lingered, honestly, since like the Bears game just about last year, where it's starting to feel like we're in this relationship with this person that we really like, but we're realizing it's not the one we're going to marry. That's what Matt LaFleur feels like right now. Like, he might not be the guy to bring us all the way there. I mean, just the managing. I mean, you think, just looking back this whole year, we've mismanaged the offensive line. The wide receivers, I mean, just looking at punt returner, too, I don't know why Matthew Golden had his stint as the punt returner there. Cornerbacks, and now kicker even, you can argue that the way LaFleur has managed the kicking position has made McManus a worse kicker. And, you know, we said the same thing about Jordan Morgan to begin the year, too, on the offensive line. The play calling, I mean, remember, I think I've called and said this before, remember when fans were wanting the Matt LaFleur offense when we had Aaron Rodgers?
Uh-huh.
It seems like the further we've gotten away from Aaron Rodgers, there's less of a cohesive plan, and we look more lost in these big moments. You wonder if LaFleur, one, was able to manage the game a little bit more when Rodgers had more of an influence over play calling. And then on top of that, too, you wonder, you know, I think we all like Jordan Love, but something that LaFleur said is, I'm not going to run plays that my quarterback isn't comfortable with. I wonder if Jordan Love is a guy who would speak up and say, you know, we're running things that he's not comfortable with. I mean, even the Cardinals game, he didn't say anything to LaFleur about going for it on fourth. He gave him a look, right? And along with that, too, you know, just the game plan, and maybe there, similar things have been said in the past, but especially this year, Deno said, he said this a couple times on certain plays or not getting guys on the field or not getting guys the ball enough. We didn't get the look we wanted. Matt LaFleur said this. This was incredibly damning, I thought. Sometimes the defense dictates what we can do. You're the Green Bay Packers. You're Matt LaFleur. You got Jordan Love. Why is the defense dictating what you're going to do? I understand there's times where you don't want to run into a brick wall, but, I mean, some of the best plays of the year, Tucker Kraft on that fourth down against the Cardinals, he was the third read. Mm-hmm. And then, like, yesterday, our fourth down call was that post to Watson where they had three guys. Like, what are you looking at on some of the, you know, it's like we're, at times it's like we're overdoing the game plan, too. It almost feels like that started last year when Robert Saleh came in, and now we have Nathaniel Hackett and Luke Getsy. I think they're more involved with the defense, but you do wonder if there's too many cooks in the kitchen. Like, Matt LaFleur's game plan is a Ferrari, you know, and he needs a road. He needs a nice, smooth road, and when that happens, everything looks awesome. But when we got an off-road, that Ferrari doesn't do good, and we need a Jeep. And it's just he isn't able to change that way, or he isn't able to just find what our staples are on offense, and he lets the defense dictates what we do. Like, Mike McCarthy, with his offense at the end there, I think he needed scheme to have the talent play better. You know, uh-huh. And we had guys like EQ, MBS, and Jimmy Graham. And now it's like, I feel like we all think our talent is better than the scheme, and the scheme is almost bringing the offense down as a whole. Like, Savion Williams, I think he'll be a good player someday, too. But I don't think we need to have, you know, participation trophies and have him in here on these gadget plays that just haven't really worked. I know he had the touchdown last week, sure, but other than that, it hasn't been great this year.
So,
and Jason, one last thing. I don't want to, because I know I'm just a numbskull on the internet here. But if you could work in a question for Matt LaFleur and mention "Let It Rip," that is what the last time we had a identity on offense was when we went on that run in 2023, starting at Thanksgiving, where LaFleur was talking about letting it rip. And now it feels like Love is timid at times. I think he threw a couple of deep balls up because he wasn't given the opportunity, and it was like a predetermined play beforehand that he could finally go deep. Last thing, if we lose in the first round of the playoffs, I think we should move on from Matt LaFleur, and you talk about Ed Policy making a big move. I know it's dumb. I know it's crazy, but if he is, maybe thinking outside the box, what if we trade away Matt LaFleur to the Tennessee Titans, who have Chad Brinker as their president, who has history with the Packers? Matt LaFleur would be perfect there. They got Cam Ward that he could coach up, and then maybe Halfley sticks on, and then a guy like Mike McDaniels or whatever from the Dolphins comes over as the OC. That's all. Thank you.
Of all the things Spencer said, all I really want from you, Tausch, is a critique of the analogy of a Ferrari and it smooth on the road, but they need a Jeep when things get rocky. How do you feel about that analogy about Matt LaFleur as a coach?
Well, I'm a Chevy guy, as you know, Zimbrick Chevrolet to be exact. I like it. First off, I love it when people try. I want to hear analogies. I think it's super fun. And it's not always easy to kind of go from point A to point B to point C. But there is something to be said about, do you find the hard road? And are you able to navigate through that? Because it's always easy as a coach and as players when you're just rolling down the Autobahn and you don't have any cops and there's no cars and you just can go. That's easy. It is when you have a half of the road is out and you got to take a right and you got to climb a mountain, you got to go through trees and you got to navigate through, and then your tire blows out, aka your tight end. And what are you going to do now? Well, you're going to go get a replacement tire? Or are you going to say to hell with it, we're going to get a different car? What is that road going to look like, and how do you get back on the Autobahn? Because yesterday that road was – that was like, what's the movie with Sandra Bullock?
Speed?
There's roads that were not finished. Speed. There's bridges, and you're like, oh, I ain't going to make that. Are you going to be able to jump it? I don't know. Well, yesterday we jumped, and we fell, and we crashed. So now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
We'll find out. We got the trade deadline. You got a lot of variables that you still have to navigate through. But yesterday was not a good day for Matt LaFleur, and that's why we're hearing as much from fans about some of his shortcomings throughout his career, and especially yesterday, that are making Packer fans wonder if he is the guy moving forward to lead this team to a championship, because this is a huge year for him. If this team does fall short, I do wonder where Ed Policy's thoughts are about how this is going to shake out moving forward, and I wonder how Goody feels. I think Goody, when he made that whole urgency bit, that wasn't just directed at players. I think that was directed at everybody, including himself. He went out and used his – took a while. But I don't think anybody's saying he didn't – don't shake your head. It's true. You can't say Goody wasn't
– and you pointed it out earlier. You need to tell us about Hard Rock Casino where Jesse will be driving Barry Alvarez – driving Mr. Daisy to tonight – but let's not. I understand that I am painted on this program as the Goody hater, and you're the Goody stan. But the two free agent pickups have not worked out. You did. I know. That's. I'm citing you from earlier in the show. But let's make sure that we understand that there are things that he has done, including if the centerpiece of his plan for the offensive line was to move your Pro Bowl guard to center so you could sign Aaron Banks instead of leaving your Pro Bowl guard where he was and sign someone else's center, that is a mistake too. So there, like, let's not put it all at Matt LaFleur's feet, but again, I think there's plenty of blame to go around. Matt LaFleur deserves more of it than Goody. I don't disagree with that. But let's not let Goody off scot-free and say, oh, well, he deserves a 5-year contract extension and get Matt LaFleur out of here. Tausch, tell us about Hard Rock Casino.
I'll say this. I will. There is nobody that's going to look at those two rosters yesterday and say Green Bay's roster is worse than Carolina's.
I would agree.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Okay. And I can't wait to hear about the big night out for Jesse and the boys from the Barry Alvarez show. Don't know how that's going to shake itself out. If Engs is going to sit behind Jesse, if Barry is going to make Tark put his seat way up so that he can kick his feet. But I do know this. They only got a 60-minute drive down to the Hard Rock Casino Rockford, where features over 175,000 square feet of gaming and entertainment space, 1,300 slot machines, 50 live table games, a sports book, and a rock shop, and, oh, baby, the High Limit Room. Right now you deliver premium table games, playing tailored for discerning players with enhanced game rules, including blackjack, where the dealer stands on soft 17. That's a big advantage for us players. You will enjoy better odds, faster play, and the kind of authentic high-limit action that sets Hard Rock Casino Rockford apart. Pretty sure Jess will be down there playing in that high-limit room with Coach A and everybody else down at Hard Rock Casino Rockford. Your next hand could be your best yet. Visit the high-limit room at Hard Rock Casino Rockford and rediscover your game on your terms, in your rhythm, and with your edge, Jesse Nelson.
I'd like to thank those who on the text line the other day when I brought this up sent links to craps simulators. I did practice over the weekend, and I am prepared to play shoulder-to-shoulder next to Coach Alvarez tonight at Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
Quick question. Are you just going to play the point shaken, or are you going to go 6-8? What are you thinking about doing tonight?
The pass line seems to be where I'll be most comfortable. I'll play the pass line to start, and then 6-8 seems good. I wish there was a 6-7 option, but 6-8's not bad.
You don't want 7. 7
seven's bad.
Out.
7's bad.
Okay. We have 5 calls to get to. We've got 35 minutes and at least 2 commercial breaks left.
Never a doubt.
Well, let's go.
More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio. But I won't cry for yesterday. There's an
ordinary world. Somehow I have back to the Carbless Talk and text line we go. And out to Los Angeles, home of the back-to-back World Series champs.
Don't get Jesse started telling us how it was all over once they got Shohei Ohtani. Let's go to Alan in L.A. Alan, good morning. Thanks for holding on. What do you got?
Well, Tucker Kraft's injury just broke my heart. It just broke my heart. But having a little time to process it, I think it's going to provide, it provides an acute leadership test for the entire organization, Goody, the players, LaFleur, the coaches, everyone, on how they can recover from this and try to prosper. And what's interesting is, as you know, I'm also a Charger fan, been so for years when I lived in San Diego, have season tickets. And it's really interesting to compare the travails or the challenges the Packers have faced with what the Chargers and Harbaugh and his people have been dealing with. I mean, they have had like 10 different players on the offensive line. They signed Slater to this gigantic contract, then lost him for the season. They've lost Alt. They've had guys who are like fifth string that aren't even in the year. And yet, and their quarterback is leading the league in sacks. But they're 6-3 because, with the exception of one game, they have been competitive in every game. And when I look at the Packers, and I know, you know, we shouldn't panic, and if they manage to beat the Eagles, we'll all be back on the bandwagon. But when I look at the Packers, the offensive line is a mess. The experiment with Jenkins, I think it's fair to say, is not working at all. And, you know, LaFleur, the fourth and eighth decision, I mean, that's high school stuff. And I noticed right after the game when they asked Jordan Love about it, he quickly said, well, that was Matt's decision.
He did. So I noticed that, too.
Jordan, and if you have Jordan making a bonehead decision on first down, throwing a ball into triple coverage into the wind, where it gets intercepted, And then he says, well, it was just as good as a punt. Well, no, it wasn't, because you don't punt on first down.
Correct.
You know? But how is Matt LaFleur going to rein in Jordan and say, Jordan, you shouldn't make those decisions, when he's making decisions like that, you know, bonehead call on fourth and eight at the 23-yard line? And when I listened to the offensive coach say in an interview last week, well, we're having a problem because our guys on the offensive line aren't blocking the right people on run plays. Well, it ain't September. It's November. You know, I won't use any bad words, but my reaction to that is WTF.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're... But it's like, what are we doing? And so should LaFleur be fired and all that? Well, no, you don't want to fire a coach in the season, but is this the guy to take us to the Super Bowl? And I have to say, I don't think so, because
you're not alone in that opinion. But I am very curious to see if they, and thanks for the call, Alan, and great points, especially about the Chargers. I am very curious to see if they somehow rise up, and you said razor's edge or whatever it was, they play with an edge next week and they win at home. Occam's razor. Yeah. He's one of my favorites. If they are able to do that on Monday night, then it changes the conversation, obviously, then the next morning on our show. And suddenly now, what a great job Matt LaFleur did of putting together a game plan to beat the defending champs.
Woof, woof. Yes. No doubt about it. That's the beauty of this league. And this is every week stands on its own. And this week is going to be it's not going to be a great week until about Wednesday or Thursday. This, when you play, you kind of know this cycle. It's rehash the game. Tuesday is kind of a big picture rehash, and then you start looking at what's next. And for a Monday night game, it's going to be a long week for these guys. They'll probably get an extra day off. You get another day to kind of go through your red zone. And I think that's the other thing that you look at. Right now, this team's red zone efficiency, at least through yesterday, I don't know.
It was good. It was actually really good until yesterday, and then it was terrible.
Yeah, yesterday stunk. Yesterday was a, and that's what gets you beat. So understanding all of that, that's why I'm just not. I've been around long enough, and I've seen enough seasons, both playing and watching, that yes, I understand fans' frustrations, but I also know that there's peaks and valleys to this thing. This is a yesterday with, you know, the Tucker news and this.
It's a gorge,
a deep valley, a big gorge. But the beautiful part is you build zip lines. There's ways to get out of gorges. And this is not like a death blow. This isn't where we all collapsed. That has not happened. And there's frustration. There's all of the angst. But you have another opportunity. And Jason is 100% correct. There's a good chance next Monday at about 11:30 at night, Homer and I will be dialing up a post-game show after a big win against the Philadelphia Eagles, and you're going to say we are back to being, it's us and the Rams as far as the big dogs in the NFC. That is more likely to happen than not. I'm guessing we're going to be favored. But for this and what we did yesterday, all of this criticism is well-earned because they lost a game they had no business losing to a team that is not as talented and as good at home. And that's what happens. Those are the ramifications of it. Matt LaFleur knows it. He knows it's coming, and the great ones weather it and don't let it bother them. And they say, come Tuesday, this is going to be, we're on to Philly. That's the Belichickian way. It's over. We lost. Now we move it along.
Core values are an important piece of any successful business, and Lakeland Supply is no different. They've been displaying their core values in the industrial supply space for more than 40 years. Integrity, excellence, stewardship, partnership, and faith. They're ISO certified, a Future 50 winner, top rated in customer satisfaction, and they believe in giving back to the community. Lakeland isn't one of those catalog companies either. They believe in making sure that they are your packaging and supply expert and that they're building plans around what you want. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. So set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at LakelandSupply.com. Mike, Jake, Jamon, and Terrell. Four calls, 22 minutes. Next.
Done.
It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Minutes, one more commercial break, four calls. Let's get going on the Carbless Talk and Text line. Mike in Cedarburg. Good morning. What do you
got?
Good
morning. Thanks for taking my call. I guess you know you're always asking positives and negatives. Maybe this will be an incentive for Musgrave to get going as a tight end and show what he was drafted for, and maybe he'll step right in and take Tucker Kraft's place. I doubt he'll be that successful, but maybe he'll have some level of success. So that's my only positive. Negatives is I went into halftime yesterday thinking, okay, they're going to be done screwing around with these guys. They're going to come up with a plan for the second half, which is what good coaches, really good coaches, do. And the second half was coached more like Mike McCarthy than Bill Belichick. I mean, you know, Belichick figures stuff out, and he changes and makes adjustments, and LaFleur didn't. LaFleur occasionally have a great game, like against Detroit. Had a great game. That was their Super Bowl for the year, the Packers. I mean, you look at their record, who have they really beaten? I mean, the Commanders are supposed to be so good. Have they really beaten any really good teams, and have they blown anybody out? I don't think so.
No, and to your point, and this is the conversation that Tausch and I feel like we've been having for a long time. Tausch brings it up all the time, but how many complete games have they played? And again, someone brought up, we were having this conversation yesterday in the press box, somebody brought up the New Orleans game. I still don't feel that way. I didn't think they played very well. They just played a really bad team last year. The last time they put it all together in a single game was the playoff game in Dallas. And the defense gave up some plays late that made the score look closer than it was. But it was like 42-17. That game was over. And so I just don't... That's what you strive for. It's hard to accomplish. They did not come anywhere close to playing a complete game yesterday. They were basically problematic in every phase. Let's get another call in. 844-770-3776. Send those texts in so we can get to them tomorrow on the Carbless Talk and Text line. Let's go to Jake in Cincinnati, the Queen City. How you doing, Jake?
Good. How are you guys? Thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it.
Thanks for holding on. What do you got?
Well, you know, at least we don't have the defense that Cincinnati has. I watched that game last night. It was pretty
that
bad.
That is very what a that is the positive of the day right there.
Exactly. Hey, so, like, you know, honestly, I wasn't upset about this loss as I probably thought I would have been. I think I was more upset about the Dallas tie because I think we, you know, all would agree that Dallas, we definitely should have beaten Dallas in that game. But, you know, I don't disagree with a lot of people's thoughts and definitely, you know, what you guys were saying. And there's a gentleman earlier that, you know, had talked about how we should, like, pump the brakes on LaFleur's firing. And I kind of agree more with his lining than anybody else's, because at the end of the day, like, Ed Pauls is going to make that decision about Matt LaFleur, you know, whether he's going to fire him or not, or extend him or anything like that. But I would kind of look at it this way, kind of like a devil's advocate point of view, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to disagree with me on this, which is okay. But, like, LaFleur's decisions that we've talked about that, you know, he's been criticized this season on, the pass play to against Cleveland that Jordan Love had the interception, the play calling, that final drive against Dallas, and then, you know, the 4th and 8 against Carolina. Mm-hmm. You know, despite those play calls, those decisions, Green Bay still had a chance. They were in a position to win or at least take the lead late in those games. And like Jason, I think you had talked about this earlier, there is some lack of execution in some of those, you know, some of those games where we've seen lack of execution from the players and throughout the season. And I think that's kind of what it comes down to. I mean, we had a chance to take the lead late against Cleveland. There was a punt blocked. You know, I think Dobbs on the screen pass to Williams, which I don't like those plays either. He failed there. He didn't execute, and Jordan didn't execute down the stretch, and we had a settle for a tie. And then Cleveland against Carolina, 4th and 8. You know, I actually, at the moment, didn't hate that play call. But, you know, we eventually tied the game, and with 2:32 left with the defense on the field, I think we all felt really good that the defense was going to make a stop and get the ball back for the offense, and that didn't happen. You know, the defense that we've crowned early in the season. So, I mean, obviously, you know, fans haven't clicked consistently, and that's what the guys have all said. And I liked everybody's response after the game that, you know, we just got to get back into it. We just have to get back on the practice field, get back in the field room. But, yeah, I mean, you know, they didn't go out there and say something that all of us fans wanted us to hear. You know, they said pretty much what was true, and was, which I think the floor said, like, it wasn't sexy to say this, but we just got to get back out there. You know, I would leave it at this. We haven't. This isn't the first time we haven't seen this for Packer teams. Remember, 2009, we were 4-4, and we lost to a winless Tampa Bay team. Made the run, made the playoffs. In 2010, we were 3-3 after back-to-back overtime losses and field goals against Washington and Miami. And like that one caller was saying earlier, against Rodgers wasn't, you know, lighting up the world. We won the Super Bowl. But then we, on the flip side, were the number one seed in 2011, 2020, 2021. You know, that was a calling in 2020 and 21 that we need to be the one number one. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Well, we know what happened. We didn't make the Super Bowl.
It's true.
So, yeah. You know, I don't disagree that LaFleur has his shortcomings, and we'll see how that plays out the rest of the season. And the team has to kind of maybe overcome those shortcomings. But I, as a fan, would rather be disappointed now than later at the end of the season when we know what we have out of Matt LaFleur, what we don't have out of Matt LaFleur. So,
My concern, Jake, and thanks for the call, is that you're going to be disappointed in both. You're going to be disappointed now, and you're going to be disappointed later as well. I'm just the season's not over, but I am very curious to see what this offense looks like without Tucker Kraft, because you're coming off a game.
If Tucker Kraft was still healthy, I would not have changed it. This
Correct.
Is just a loss.
Agreed.
That loss is
yep,
it's a,
that's my point.
It's just a gut punch, no doubt.
Yep. Let's get to one more call here, and then we'll get to Terrell to close out the show. Let's go to Jamon in Dallas. Jamon, good morning. Thanks for holding on, buddy.
How you guys going?
We're good. A little pressed for time. What do you got?
Okay. We'll get to the start. A lot of people talking about Matt. He had a few questionable calls, but I think the guys on the field have to start pointing the fingers at themselves. Jordan Love, it seems like every play he has, like everything has to be 15 yards downfield, which is not understandable. Once things started clicking, Jordan Love is getting the ball out of his hand quick, that's when the offense is really clicking. We had a drive where it was happening, and it's like we just ran away from it. I'm not sure if it's a Chris Clemens thing or what, but the deep ball from Jordan Love, it has to go. He has to learn how to read better defenses. Another thing, I'm not sure if the plan was to even go in that game and to throw the ball. I think Matt LaFleur wanted to see how good his run game could be on a team that you know you should dominate and win. Mm-hmm. And it just showed us yesterday that our run game is not what we expect it to be at all. Like, Josh Jacobs couldn't do anything. Emmanuel couldn't do anything, so we was forced to have Jordan Love to throw the ball, and by the time Matt LaFleur made those changes, the game was getting away from us. So, don't really have any positives. All I have to say is, I mean, you just got to get ready for next week.
That's true. That's all they can do. But again,
I think to Jamon's point there, I disagree with him on the run game. I thought
agree.
It was better.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Josh Jacobs didn't get enough touches, in my opinion. I mean, there's things you can agree and disagree about, but it was a bad loss. It doesn't mean the season's over. Tucker Kraft's injury's gut punch. Those are my quick summary points.
That's a great summary of the way played out yesterday. We need to wrap up the show. We will do it with Terrell, who waited on hold for, I swear to, 3 hours. No pressure. You're next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com. It's a beautiful day. Sky falls, you feel like it's a beautiful day. To live.
We have 90 seconds for Terrell on the north side. Terrell, you've been loyal so many years. Sorry to short shrift you, but you get the final word. What do you got?
Okay, how you guys doing? I could talk about Matt LaFleur and his situational football. I could talk about him and his undisciplined teams. And I could talk about him with his stubbornness with his offense, but I refuse to be negative today. I'm going to be positive. So I think there's a bold move that needs to be made either on Gutekunst's side or on Matt LaFleur's side. And I believe that's with Zach Tom moving to center. I think Elgton Jenkins needs to go back to playing right tackle like he did before in previous years, or move him back to guard, whatever you want to do. But he can't be trusted in the middle of that offense. And if you can't stop rushers from coming in there, Jordan Love's not going to have a chance in the world going forward this season. So I'm putting Zach Tom, which they paid him a lot of money, so it shouldn't be a problem. He's going to be my center because I trust him more than Elgton Jenkins right now. That's the first thing. Second thing, Tucker Kraft injury sucks. He's probably our biggest playmaker, our biggest wild card. So the strength of the offense right now is in Jordan Love and the receivers because the offensive line is not a power running football blocking team, which is Josh Jacobs' specialty. And that's why we've been seeing Emmanuel Wilson run better because he's doing more zone read. And the runs have been looking more fluid because they're not a power running football blocking team. So I would change the offense and I would go to a more pass-happy offense. I would use Josh Jacobs because he's a caliber player he is, and Emmanuel Wilson. But I think those are the two biggest things that they need to do going forward with the loss of Tucker Kraft.
Terrell, we appreciate the call. We're out of time. I don't know how positive that was, but be that as it may, it is where we must leave the program. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.